Good morning, everybody. You may be wondering about the source sheets that you have in front of you. They're not a mistake. I'm a creature of passion. And every so often I get hooked on different Sifrei Tanakh, and I just can't extricate myself or pull myself free. This year, since before Pesach, I've just been learning Shir Hashirim and Shir Hashirim and Shir Hashirim, and it occurred to me, I don't know if anybody ever gave Shirim here in Shir Hashirim, so I've decided, and I've done this a number of times in the past after Pesach, a mini series of Shirim to acquaint you with Shir Hashirim, and there's such power and there's such beauty, and we're going to talk about the great statement of Rabbi Akiva in Kol Hashirim Kodesh. If all songs and poetry is Kodesh, is holy, Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kodashim, Shir Hashirim is the holy of holies. There are powerful ideas that are expressed in this Shir Hashirim, and I want to give you at least a taste of it. It is, of course, a sefer that has been misunderstood, and I think at times it has been misunderstood intentionally in order to denigrate it and attempt to empty it of its holiness and its sanctity. But nothing is going to help. Shir Hashirim is so powerful, so strong, and there are great ideas that are expressed, so you should at least, I would want you to be conversant with the ideas, a bit with the story. There's no question about it, it is a love story, a very powerful love story. And there's no question about it that this love story is used in order to demonstrate the love that exists between God and the Jewish people, both ways. What should be our love of God and how God indeed loves us. And that's extremely, extremely important to understand. I'm not going to be able to teach you all of Shir Hashirim al Regel Achas. Can't do it. Oh, so let's begin in some kind of an organized fashion. All right, wait a minute. As I sit here right now, I don't know how the organized fashion should begin. I don't know. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop the back way. Should I? Go to page 3. I may have made a mistake. I may have made a mistake in deciding to start from page 3, but I will not. I will not resign, even if it sounds true that I made a mistake by starting with page 3. I'll be the only one who can correct it, and let's go about it. Okay. So if I ever hear this tape again, the tape of this year, I'll remember already when it was without having said anything. Chapter 5. I'm going to take you through two allegorical explanations of chapter 5. And by chapter 5, not the first pasuk, the second pasuk. Ani yishena v'libi er. The story, as it will begin to develop, and you will see, is a dod, the lover, and the beloved, also referred to as the raya, the shepherdess, or the one who is beloved, achoti, my sister, tamati, the one who is perfect, yonati, my beautiful pigeon. It's the story of the relationship between God and the Jewish people, and there is constant movement. There is constant movement. There's a movement of closer, And then there's a moment at which Yisrael begins to backslide. For example, the greatest closeness comes at the Ma'amar HaSinai when we receive Torah. At the sin of the Egel, there is a rupture in the relationship. With the building of the Mishkan comes a renewal and a rejuvenation of this relationship. And Rashi, we will see the Rashi, when we get to it, Rashi's great introduction to the Sefer Shir HaShirim, where he says that this is the story of this relationship going through the period of Bayit Rishon and Bayit Sheni, how Israel finds itself at times in history distant from God, out in exile, or living through periods in which it seems that God's presence is not visible. And whenever she finds herself in these terrible straits, she looks back with longing and yearning to the times when their relationship was a close one, a warm one, when she felt the presence of God in her midst. And that's what she longs for. That's what she yearns for. This is what she hopes for and prays for. And then there are moments at which, indeed, God begins to appear. God begins to return. And then, there can even be tragedy then. I'm going to read the psukim. By the way, I haven't found an English translation of Shir HaShirim that I like. So you're just going to have to depend on my translation. The usual translation is, of course, very heavily laden with the V's and the vowels, which makes it difficult. Our scroll took a completely different approach, where they did not translate it literally in the translation, but they translated it according to its inner meaning, which means you don't get the translation of a pasuk unless you look down at the bottom. Very difficult. I can't handle that. So it's going to be me. She's describing a certain moment in time. Ani yishena. I was asleep, but v'libi air. My heart is awake. Rashi says, the heart of Klal Yisrael is God. There are moments at which we fall asleep. We begin to backslide. But let's hear the story. What happens at this point? And then, of all things, I've been looking for him all over. And I'm waiting for my beloved. Kol Dodi Dodi. I hear the voice of my beloved. He's knocking on the door. And then I hear him say, Pitchi li achoti, please open for me, my sister, Ra'ayati, my beloved, Yonati, my dove, Tamati, the one who is Tam, who is perfection itself. Open. Sheroshi nimlotau, my head is full of dew. It's at night. And the beloved, who in Shir HaShirim is described as a shepherd, he's come through the dark night, and dew is on his head, kfutso tai, resise loila. The locks of my hair have the moisture of the night. And here he's been going through the dark. He finally made it. And there he is. He's at the door of his beloved, and she's in bed, she's sleeping, and she hears, Kol Dodi Dofek, it's the voice of my beloved. This is what she's been waiting for. This is what she's been yearning for. This is what she's been praying for. She's been searching for him and hunting for him, looking high and low for him. And now he's there. And there's a delay. There's a tragic, tragic delay. Poshatiti et kutanti. I've already taken off my robe. Echocha el boshena. How am I going to put it on? Rochatsti et rablai. I've washed my feet. And now I'm going to have to step with my dainty little feet on the floor. Echocha atamfen. How am I going to let them get dirty? What's happening makes no sense. it's just a momentary lax, a laziness, maybe even a bit of stubbornness. And here comes this one pasuk, a moment that should have been grasped, a moment that should never have been left pass by. There are always crucial moments in the lives of people, in the lives of a nation, where an opportunity presents itself, and when the opportunity presents itself, you have to be ready to rise to it. She didn't. Dodi shalach yado min hachor. My beloved put his hand through the hole. I mean, there was a sort of a hole. You know how I imagine this? I don't know if you used to have in some of our homes a door near, little door, little cabinet near the door of the house where the milkman would leave the milk, right? And then you have a door on the other side, you open up the inside door, you take the bottles of milk. And then at night you put the empty bottles back there. And we were talking about a day, a time in men's lives when milk was delivered by a milkman and it came in bottles. I mean, young people wouldn't even know what we're talking about. So it seems he wants somehow or other to get in. If he can't get in through the front door because I haven't opened it, he puts his hand through the hole and he's trying to open up the door from the inside. Dodi shalach yado min achor. He extended his hand. Umei I humbu alav. And my innards began to long for him. And then all of a sudden I was able to overcome my laziness. Kamti ani liftoach ledodi. I got up to open the door for my beloved. V'yodai not for more. My hands were dripping with myrrh, with beautiful spices and veds baltai more over. And from my fingers was myrrh that was coming over them. Al kapot amanul. On the handle of the door. I mean, it describes that, like she wants him. Tragedy. Patachti ani ledodi. I opened for my beloved. The dodi chamak avar. He had removed himself. Gone. He's not there. Not there. I didn't open the door when I should have opened the door. I didn't respond to the knocks on the door. I didn't. Oh. Nafshi yotza bedabro. The fact is that my soul was going out to him when he spoke. And you know what I do now? Bikashtiu. I sought him. I looked for him. Velo mitzatiu. I didn't find him. Karativ, I called to him, Velo Anani, and he didn't answer me. And we have the picture of her running through the night, trying to find her beloved. Where is he? Mitzouni Ashomrim has so within the ear. The watchmen who move around through the city, they found me. And you know what they did? He kumi. They struck me. Pitzouni. They wounded me. Nosuet redidime alai, they took my ornaments, my jewelry from upon me. Shomrei hachomot, the ones who watch the gates. Hishvati etchem benot Yerushalayim. The beloved says, and you have to understand in Shir Hashirim, benot Yerushalayim usually refers to the nations of the world. Because, as Rashi points out, Yerushalayim one day is going to be metropolin la'umot. It's going to be the great metropolis of all nations of the world. A Jewish Yerushalayim is going to be metropolin, great metropolis for all the nations of the world. The note Yerushalayim means those who are sort of attached to Yerushalayim. In Tanakh, in a number of places, when you talk about the big city and all the surrounding area, are the banot, the daughters of the big city. The daughters of Yerushalayim are the nations of the world. So the beloved says, Hishbati etchem benot Yerushalayim, I want you to take an oath, you nations of the world, in Timtzu et Odi, if you find my beloved, Ma tagidu lo. What are you going to tell him? You know what you should tell him? Shecholat ahava ani. I am lovesick for him. Now there's going to begin a dialogue. I'll just show you the beginnings of the dialogue. The nations of the world turn to him and they say, Ma dodeich midod? In what way is your beloved different than all the others? In what way is your... In other words, in what way is your God special? You, Hayafa ben Hashim, you, most beautiful of women. Mado deich beitod. In what way is your beloved different than all the others? Shekacha hishbatanu. You made us take an oath that when we see him, we're going to tell God that, you know, she is sick with love. And then begins a description how Klal Yisrael describes God, how the shepherd girl describes her beloved shepherd. Dodi tzach v'adom, he is pure and white and red. Dogol me'rivava. We're going to get into these descriptions at another time. So now I'll take you first to Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. If you go on to the second sheet, go back to the first, turn over. The Hebrew of the Kuzari is down here at the bottom, and this English is the translation, but I want to give you the background to the words of the Kuzari. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi is going to explain these psukim of kol dodito fake, the voice of my beloved who is knocking, and parshatiti et kutanti, I've taken off my cloak, echocha el boshena, how will I put it on? Rachatzti et raglai, I've washed my feet, echocha atanti, how am I going to get them dirty? The conversation that's going on over here between the king of the Khazars and the Talmud Chacham, the Chaver. The conversation is the following, that the king asks him, please tell me about Eretz Yisrael. Tell me all about Eretz Yisrael. You know, so much I hear, so much about the... And the Chaver, the Talmud Chacham tells him its beauty, its sanctity, all of the halachas that are related to Eretz Yisrael, all the beautiful statements of our rabbis. Oh, I tell you, he gives the Chaver a religious Zionist view of Eretz Yisrael. It's beautiful, it's so powerful. Ah! To which the king of the Khazars responds by saying, if so, if this is what Eretz Yisrael is, then you have failed in your responsibilities. What are you doing living in Chutz Laaretz? You know what it means? It means that all of your talk about the Techezen Aineinu V'Shuvach HaLetzion Barachah, it's all talk. It's nothing more than your parroting words. You just say all sorts of things and you doubt that you don't really mean. What are you talking about? If this is what Eretz Yisrael is, if this is the great significance, what are you doing in Chutz Laaretz? It's a vicious, powerful attack of the king of the Khazars to the Chaver. And now, what I have over here is his response. His response. And I have, in the Hebrew, I have a more recent translation, but when I first learned the Kuzri, the opening words of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi's response to this attack on him were the words, and I can't get them out of my mind, Ho Vashtani Melech Kuzar. Ho Vashtani, you've shamed me, you've embarrassed me. Now, there are a number of possibilities what his response could be. Well, listen, you know, it's not all that bad. If you know how much I give to UJA and bonds, sitting over here in Spain, if you'd know how many demonstrations I've been at on behalf of Israel, you wouldn't accuse me of such things. I mean, there are all sorts of responses. Or he could, of course, say, you want me to live in that secular state with such a prime minister and such a Sar HaBitachon? Give me a break. The brutal and beautiful honesty of Rav Yehuda Halevi. Ochen, you can matzos on mekom cherpati. By the way, you may even notice that the English translation is a translation of the original Hebrew that I had learned, because he had written it in Arabic and it was translated into Hebrew. You have shamed me, King of the Khazar. And then he says, Ki omnam ched zehu asher biglalo lo nitkayem hayiyud asher yo'ad ha'alakar l'payit sheni. It's because of this sin that whatever God had destined for the set period of the Second Temple never happened. We didn't come back. Roni v'simchi bar tzion. The Navi says, Be rejoice and be happy, daughter of Zion, for I am coming and will dwell in your midst, says God. Not even simply. Zechariah says, he's telling the Jews of Babel, Not even simply, full of joy in heaven, I'm coming home, I'm going to dwell in your midst. Ki ha'inyan ha'eloki omad lochul aleim kiborishona, because God was ready to bring His divine presence down upon them as it had been before. He was ready to renew completely the relationship between Himself and the Jewish people after a rupture of 70 years of Golos Babel. It was over. He wants a renewed relationship. Let's start all over again. Ilu nenu kulam lekriya v'shavul Eretz Yisrael. If they all would have answered the call and returned to Eretz Yisrael b'nefesh chafetza, if they would have come to return to Israel eagerly, b'nefesh chafetza, with a soul that wants. Now it would not be enough if they come because they had to come. Oh, they were under indictment in Bavel, and you know, Mipnei Chatainu Golinu L'Artzenu, because of our sins we've been exiled to our land. No. He wants people that are going to come back. B'nefesh Chavitza. Avol Rak Miktsosam Nenu. What happened? The historic, tragic mistake. Only some heeded the call. V'ruvam, and most of them, the important leaders of the Babylonian community, nisharu b'Babel, they remained in Babel. Maskimim lagolus v'lashibud. And you know what they did? They simply agreed, yes, we're going to live in exile, and we're going to enjoy ourselves over here in under the shibud, being under the heel of Persia and Medes. And the next sentence is the most serious condemnation of all. And remember, Rav Yehuda Halevi is pointing the finger not only at them, but he is pointing the finger of guilt at himself as well. Because he said, you've shamed me. You found our weakness. Why didn't they leave Babel? So that they would not have to part from their homes, their beautiful homes. Business giving it. They couldn't separate themselves. They couldn't give up their homes. and their businesses. What an indictment. What an indictment. The Tahar. Now this is why I'm learning this piece. The Tochen, and it is possible, Ke'al Zed Ramaz Shlomo Ba'omro, this is exactly what King Solomon meant when he said, Ani Yishena, Philippi Er, I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Kina et ha'golot b'shem Shena. Exile is a state of sleeping for the Jewish people. Because ultimately, its greatest glory will come in Eretz Yisrael, not in the exile. That hasmadas hanavuah b'kirbam b'shem leiv air. He says the prophecy, the fact that there was still prophecy then, he calls that the heart of Israel that is awake. They're in Golus, but there's a Navi who's telling them, come, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Mordechai, telling them to go home. Ubamro, and when Shlomo HaMelech said, "Kol dodi dofek," the voice of my beloved knocking, kivein lakriya asher yikreim helokai lo shuv laretz. You know what the voice of the beloved is? What's the beloved saying? He's calling them, "Come home." That's what Shlomo HaMelech is referring to. He's telling the Jews of Bavel, "Come home." Hamilim, the word Sharoshi Nimlatal, because my head is full of dew. The dew represents the divine presence coming down on the Jewish people. Kinu Lashchina Hayotzes Mitzeil Koras Hamikdash. This is a form of description of the divine presence coming out from the shelter of the temple. Poshatati Kutanti, she replies, I took off my cloak. I removed my coat. Moda al hit atzlan li shamea la kriya v'loshuv Eretz Yisrael. That talks of their unwillingness, their laziness to listen to the clarion call of God through the Nevi'im to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Then he goes on to say, Dodi. Shalach, she says, Dodi Shalach Yado min Achor, my beloved, put his hand through the hole in the wall. Remez, that was a Remez leEzra haPotzer behem uleNechemya vileNeviim Achronim. That represents Ezra and Nechemya and the last prophets Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, who are begging of them. Begging of them, come! Sof Dava, the end of that, and tragic end. Rak Chelik Min Ha'am Nena, only some of the people answered the call. Velo Beleib Shalom, and not with a full heart. The Mishnah in the Sefer Sanhedrin says, Asoro Yuchsen, all the Bavel, Leretz Yisrael, 10 different kinds of Jews came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. In addition to Kohen, Levi, and Yisrael, there were also those who were the outsiders to the Jewish community. Gedim, Mamzedim, Netinim, all sorts of sordid characters who may not have found their place in Bavel. They're the ones who came up with Ezra and Nechemya. V'lachem, therefore, G'molam ha'alakai, therefore God repaid them according to their intent, and whatever he had wanted and had intended to do was only partially fulfilled. God's divine promises were fulfilled only to a degree. It matched the size of their arousal and awakening. If they would have wanted Eretz Yisrael with all their hearts, all what the Rebbeinu Shalom would have done. God's divinity comes down upon a person only according to the extent to which he is ready and prepared and wants it. if his preparation for it is limited, then it's going to be small. If a lot, then it's a lot. Af anu. Now he says about us, we Jews at the time of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, ilu hayinu muchanim lehitkarev el elokei avoteinu b'leivav shalem, would we be ready to draw close to the God of our fathers with a complete heart? Ki oz hayahu yidbarach moshienu kasher hoshiat avoteinu mitzrayim, he would save us as he saved our fathers in Egypt. Akshav she'ein hadavar kein, now unfortunately that it is not so. Ein hadvarim sha'anu omrim b'tfilasteinu, those words that we say in our davening, we will bow down to his holy mountain, and bow down to his footstool, and we praise and thank God that he will return his divine presence. You know what they are? They are nothing more than dibur hatuki uketzitzuf hazarzir. It is like the warble of the parrot and other birds who imitate human voices. I imagine they didn't have the exact translation of a zarzir. Whatever it is, a zarzir is also one of those birds that's able to imitate the human voice. And we blah, blah, blah. Talk, talk, talk. I don't know, we had the radio on last night, and like, it's in the kitchen, my wife comes in, she says again, blah, blah. They were talking, I don't know, all night, and they're talking all day. Talk, talk, talk. Talk. Yehuda Halevi says, if we would have taken this seriously, meaning that we want to be there when God brings his divine presence back to Zion. And there are others who mean we'll watch it on satellite color TV. I can sit any place in the world and watch him bring back his Shekhinah to Zion. No good. We don't say it with the intent of our heart, O Domeim, anything similar to it. Kasher ha'irota b'tzedek sar hakuzarim, as you have clearly stated, Prince of the Khazars. Alright? So Rabbi Yehuda Halevi has taken this segment of Shir HaShirim called Dodito Fake, and has explained to us that he sees in this a remez to the period of Shivas Tzion at Bayit Sheni. The Rebbe wants to come. He's knocking on the door. He sends his Nevi'im. Go back. I want to bring my divine presence down. In fact, according to Chazal, the second Bet HaMikdash could have been the final Bet HaMikdash, except for the fact that we didn't heed the call. Now, I have certain, there are times at which I have a certain fear and trepidation. You must, of course, be aware of the fact that one of the great Shmuel essays of Rav Soloveitchik is entitled Kol Dodi Dofek. It's so powerful. It will be read and studied for another 1,000 years. Every time I come back to it, the emotions are so strong, the logic is great. So what am I afraid of? What I'm afraid of is that I won't transmit the ideas of the Chav and Kol Dodi Dofek in a way that they should. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try. His introduction to the remarks that he's going to make is the following. Obviously, the remarks he's going to make, he doesn't say it in this way, but what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi said about Kol Dodi Dofek, talking about the period of the return at of Bayit Sheni, he now takes the cold Odidel fake and describes our situation. By the way, the Rav says this year on Yom Ha'atzmaut 1956. That was 6 years after the establishment of the State of Israel. And they are as relevant and as timely today as the time at which they were set. Brilliant. But he begins with one statement, and you know, in all of these great essays, or be it a Rashi, be it anything, there are times that you can read it over 10 times and not really grasp fully the strength of what's being said. And then all of a sudden, at a particular moment in time, you read it again and it blows your mind. So I got blown away a few times now. And we'll point that out. He says a sentence that is... I'm trying to remember this sentence well, so I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to read it in Hebrew, I'm going to translate it into the English. Kishenes eino motze et heito haratzui b'masim mamashiyim. When a miracle does not find its expression in our world of reality. If we don't take a miracle and make of it something real, chazon nale, a great vision, mitnavein umit mazmeiz, will deteriorate and disintegrate. If you don't grab the moment of the miracle and give it true, powerful expression, you're going to lose it. It's going to disappear. Then the next sentence is the one that's scary. God performed a miracle. You haven't done anything about it. Midat HaDin, God's divine judgment, begins to condemn the one who is the beneficiary and the recipient of a miracle, who doesn't appreciate it, has done nothing to express that appreciation. God's din begins to condemn the recipient of the miracle, kifui hatoda, the one who is ungrateful. And he brings the Gemara. Gemara Sanhedrin that says God wanted to make Chizkiyahu Hamelech Mashiach. Chizkiyahu was zecher. Here it is, the forces of Assyria are surrounding Yerushalayim. They have already conquered all of Yehudah v'Shomron, have sent 80% of Klal Yisrael into exile, and now he's waiting. This is the last thrust against Yerushalayim, and the angel of death swoops down during the night and kills the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And that's it. Yerushalayim is saved. Most miraculous fashion. God wanted to make Chizkiyahu, who was king of Judah at the time, Mashiach. But what happened? Amra Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin said, listen, Chizkiyahu, Shosita lo kol anisim alalu, Chizkiyahu, for whom you have done all of these miracles, v'lo amra shira lefanecha. He didn't say shira. He didn't sing. He didn't say hallel. Taseyu Mashiach. You're going to make him Mashiach. Now I want you to understand. I want you to understand. This is not a simple statement of our rabbis. The Rav over here is using the statement in its pristine form. There's a great deal said about why indeed didn't Chizkiyahu say Shira. That I will leave for another time. That may be a subject of another Shira. Oz. You know what happens after that? When the Ness is not appreciated, when the Ness is not given substance, not made concrete, then the tzaddas begin. The Rebbeinu is going to get us to wake up. Because he says something has to arouse and awaken man. Srus harkashat hatova. What a statement. I'm going to translate it. Emasculated of the feeling of gratefulness. A man simply incapable of expressing it. And not only is it important to express gratefulness, it has to be done at the right time. You can't delay. He brings a beautiful, beautiful analogy. He says, listen, like Klal Yisrael, a moment in time makes a great deal of difference. A person does a malacha 1 minute before sunset on Erev Shabbos. Okay. Does it a minute after sunset. Shul Shabbos. Bisman Bet HaMikdash could be death penalty for it. Person says Kriyat Shema or Davins at a particular moment in time, fulfilled the mitzvah. Loses a minute. Delays. It's no Kriyat Shema and it's no Tefillah. Lulav. All the mitzvahs. There's a time frame. And the time frame requires no procrastination, but knowing how to seize the moment. It says there were two kings who sinned before God, Shaul and David. Shaul was told, go and destroy Amalek. But he doesn't destroy Amalek. They bring back the cattle, the sheep. Agog Melech Amalek, Agog, the king of Amalek, is left alive. And Shmuel tells him, what's happening over here? Umer Kol Hatzon, what's the sound of the sheep that I hear? Oh, he says, well, the people, you know, wanted. And then he tells him, God has torn the kingdom from you. And then he says, Chotasi, I sinned. David sins, and Natan HaNavi comes to him and tells him that he sinned. Instantly he says, Chotasi Lashem, I have sinned before God. Not a hesitation of a second. Because of that, Natan HaNavi is told immediately by God, I have forgiven him. He and his children will be kings before God. People can make mistakes. People can sin. The question is, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? I'm not going to use any of the examples that come to mind this morning. Right? None of them. The ability to say, I made a mistake, to say it instantly, to know that you made a mistake. That moment makes all the difference. To be able to be the recipient and the beneficiary of God's great kindness. And to recognize it, to realize it, and to express it. What's going through my mind, of course, is not only Medinat Yisrael, Yom Yerushalayim. Unbelievable. Yom Yerushalayim. I don't know, should I tell you now that I'm not going to be here for Yom Yerushalayim? I'm invited someplace in Golos.
What is the day here?
I will say over there, I will say, V'techazeno einenu v'shuvu kol etziona. I'll watch the march of the flags. No. In some place they need an honest-to-goodness living Yerushalmi there so that they can celebrate it for a Yom Yerushalayim dinner. You have to be able to recognize the the extent of the awesome extent of the miracle. By the way, the Rav is not going to talk about this because he's saying the Shir in 56. That was 11 years before 67. But the Rav is going to be talking about the obligation and the responsibility to see that God has wrought miracles for us. He's going to talk about what I think I'm now famous, the six knocks. Kol Dodi Dovek. The six knocks on the hearts of Klal Yisrael. The tragedy of the beloved is that she delayed. She didn't seize the moment. He's knocking on the door. She should have jumped up immediately and ran to the door. Doesn't she? She hears the knocking. No. Poshatti et kutanti, I've taken off my robe. Echochel boshen, how am I going to put it on? Rachatzti et raglai, I washed my feet. Echocha atamze. A tragic, tragic delay. And that delay means that it will have to wait for another time, another age. Who knows how much tzavas Klal Yisrael will have to go through until the next time that the Dod, comes to see his beloved. So the Chav, in this cult, Odi Dofek, he says, what's the essence of Shir HaShir? It's a discussion of all of Shir HaShir, but it's going to focus on the psukim that we learn. He says, what's the whole object of Shir HaShir? Is it not the paradoxical and tragic delay of the beloved? I'm going to try and translate the beauty of his sentences. They're just that this is kind of what pulls me away. Here is the beloved. She is drunk with love. She is overwhelmed with yearning. There's a sense of such glory. And what happens to her? Here is an opportunity of a lifetime. An opportunity of many, many lifetimes. This is exactly what she wanted. She wants that the relationship between her and God should be repaired. And she doesn't do what has to be done at that great moment. And here, he's come through the dark of night in order to knock on her door. He carries with him the weight and the pain, Jewish pain, of centuries. Here is the moment that she has been looking forward to with such great anticipation. The one who was concealed from her and hidden. And now there it is. He presents himself. How crooked can the heart be that we cannot understand? Why doesn't she respond? Get out of bed and go to the door and throw it open. You don't know. She didn't open the door. The excuses were poor excuses. He knocked and he knocked. No response. Dodi chamak avar. He slipped away and was gone. So the Rav says, in our days, and he's talking about no more than a period of 6 years, from 1948 until 1956. From 1948 until 56. 50 years. I'm so overwhelmed with the words of the Rav, I can't even add, 48 to 50 is 2, and 50 to 56, 6 and 2. I should have been able, but you should know that when I have to do arithmetic, I'm just thinking of 2 and 6, something that I said at the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha here in the Israel, so Shabbos Shuvah, not Shabbos, I got my own, I'm talking about.
And I came up with something, you know, how these ideas are planted in me, I don't know. And I checked with a number of people, did anybody ever say this? I said the following, 1948, establishment of the State of Israel. Tshuva, the word tshuva. If you take the hay from the end of the word tshuva and put it at the beginning, you know what the word is now? Ha ta shuv. Will you return? Wait a minute. From that moment on, the question that is asked of the Jewish people, will you return? Now, let's go the next step. Hey, tav, shin, a vav and a bet, are 6 and 2, which equals chet. Ha ta shuv equals hey, 5,000, tav, shin, chet, 5,708. That was 1948. From hey, tav, shin, chet on, the question that is asked of all of us is, ha toshuv, will you return? Now, I couldn't have made that up myself. That had to come down as some kind of an inspiration from heaven. I will give out Shirayim after the shiur. we will begin Kol Todido Fake. The Rav identifies six knocks on the door. The knock on the door, of course, means that he's calling on Klal Yisrael to respond. I am, of course, going to say that there are certainly by now seven, and the fact is that if we want to break them down into great detail, it's been an incessant knocking of a door. I can add many knocks, but let's hear what the Rav has to say. He says, the first knock on the door is in the political arena. The two blocks, the Western and the Eastern, United States and Russia, on that fateful day when the United Nations was to vote on the partition of Palestine, which meant the establishment of the State of Israel. Heavens, they voted on the same side. They never did that. Russia and the United States voted yes. All of the Russian satellite countries voted yes. Can you understand anything of the sort? I don't know whether the Rav was aware of the fact that after an hour or two after the vote, and all of a sudden they realized what they had done, there were those who wanted to call for a second vote. We established the State of Israel. The shuk is not even going on. So he says he doesn't know what the press and others who were present there were thinking when they saw the chairman of the session bang on the table to open that session. He says, I know who banged on the table. The Rebbeinu Shloimeh. He's the one who called that session into order. And most probably, he said it in 56, and we can say it in 2007. He said, most probably the United Nations came into being only for that one session, because they haven't done anything good since then. We can add to the words of the Rav all these years later that he was absolutely right. So he says this was an act of God. This was a Rebbeinu Shlom. Only a Rebbeinu Shlom could have called together all of these people. And I remember, I remember my parents. Oh, I'm so happy I said that. I remember my parents sitting at that big wooden radio, listening to it. I have your sight for my mother tomorrow, Pesach Sheni. I have your sight for my father on Friday, 2 days apart, but 24 years apart. So I wanted to dedicate this year in memory of my mother, Shalom Chava Beil Abbasar Malcha David, and my father, Yehuda Rav Yehuda. I would have felt so terrible if I would have finished.
Your mother's name was Bela and you married Bela?
Because my mother was no longer living. In addition to the fact that my mother's name was Chava Bela. So since it's two names, it's not the same. Not the same name. And according to many they say that it has to be not only the mother's name but her mother's name. So I dedicate this year to their memory. So here I remember coming into the house and I see them listening, and if I remember correctly, I think it was when Yugoslavia voted for the partition plan that it had passed, and that's when the burst of joy came out throughout the world. Go tell this to people who can walk around, the Medina, yeah. All right. The Rav says, Kol Tovid Dofek. That session of the United Nations was a divine session. The second, he says, was on the field of battle. We who have not yet been tainted by the revisionist history and post-Zionist, so we know that this was a classic example of Chavim v'yad miyatim, the many who fell before the few. Regardless of what they're going to tell you, we were not well armed, we were not well prepared, we didn't have the derech ha-teva, in the natural order of things, the ability to stand up before 5, 6, 7 nations that invaded. And we succeeded. We succeeded. And he says, if on the field of battle, most probably the biggest mess was that the Arabs invaded, that they attacked us. If they wouldn't have attacked us, we wouldn't have ended up at the Negev, we wouldn't have had the Galil, we wouldn't have had at that time West Jerusalem, because the little piece that was set aside for us was so small. I mean, it would be someplace between Tel Aviv and Netanya. But because God had hardened their hearts, just as He did to send Paro out against Klal Yisrael, so too, He hardened their hearts. The third, and by the third knock on the door of the heart of the Jewish people, the Rav begins to, he gets very excited, you can feel his excitement. He says the theological knock on the door. For Christianity, this was a theological blow from which they have not recovered. The Rav could say that in 56, I can say it in 2007. They had decided long ago, Jews lost their right to Eretz Yisrael and to Yerushalayim. The new Israel, the Christians, because we had rejected Christ, we lost all of our rights. And here it is, we come back. The Muslims saw themselves as being the rulers of Jerusalem and all of the holy sites. That Jews should now have, and he's only talking about half of Yerushalayim and a place, a third of Eretz Yisrael in 56. They, if the Chav would only have updated it in 67, the theological blow would have been so powerful. And brings a story of John Foster Dulles was testifying before a Senate committee. He was the Secretary of State. And somebody asked him, why do the Arabs hate the Jews so much? So he said, well, because the Jews killed their God. So the Rav says, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a psychoanalyst, but you can certainly tell what was going on in the mind of that Seine Yisrael over there. He was really answering why he, John Foster Dulles, hates the Jews. Nobody can ever accused us of killing Mohammed, but they certainly accused us of killing Yeshu. So he says, here it is. What we would call it is that this was a classic, very meaningful Freudian slip. Freudian slip, that's what it was. That's what it was. See? And the way he writes, how much he enjoys reading in the secular press and then even in the Catholic and other press. I think, the Hov lived in Massachusetts. They had, Christian Science Monitor is printed in Boston, if I'm not mistaken. And he says that how much he enjoys reading from time to time, that there was no response today from the Israeli government to such and such because it's Sabbath and all Shabbos and all of their offices are closed. Or the a report that he read in the AP or the UP that the Jews in Israel sat down to the Seder, the Passover Seder this night, praying for great miracles from God, and he says he loves it. He loves it. The idea of the theological, absolutely a destruction of Christian and Muslim theology. Those are we're going to suffice with three knocks. We'll do the next three knocks in Yetz Hashem next week, and then we're going to get into significant parts of the text, but Kodo Dito Fake is certainly one of the great ones. Yes?